Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Wren, and I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Registry Discoveries. This is the first of a few lessons where we're going to do a deep dive into the different kinds of discovery. The slides are going to be very light here because we want to spend most of our time in Visual Studio actually creating and testing different discoveries for our sample application. Registry discoveries are just about always our first choice if the information that we need is in the registry, and that usually is the case for most applications. And it's really the kind of discovery that we recommend when you're targeting a wide range of computers such as Windows Computer. In fact, we'll often go so far as to create a special registry key just to drive the discovery for a particular application. Once we know that application is installed, then we have no problem targeting other kinds of discoveries since we know they'll be limited to running on the agents where they're actually useful. Now, when we define a registry discovery, we start by defining the keys or values that we're interested in. Each one might be used for a condition, or it might contain data that we need to collect for a property. We also have to define the computer that we're going to collect that data from, the computer whose registry we're going to connect to. Usually that's going to be the local agent computer, and we use a target variable for that, and we'll actually see that target variable when we create our discovery. Now, registry discoveries are going to run on a time basis, and we need to provide a frequency for how often they're going to run. In other words, we'll give them a schedule, and they'll keep running on that schedule as long as the agent is running. As I mentioned in a previous lesson, that might seem pointless when it's running on an agent that's never going to have the application installed, but registry discoveries are so light that really isn't going to add any significant overhead. We do still recommend, though, that you set the discovery interval to no more than something like every 4 hours. Many will just set to once a day. Keep in mind the discovery will run the first time immediately after the management pack is installed. So we're really just talking about configuration changes and doing an initial discovery for a new application that's installed after the management pack. Now once we've defined the attributes, then we need a condition. This will often be as simple as checking whether a particular registry key exists. When an application is installed, typically creates all of its registry values underneath a particular key. So we know if that key exists, the application must be installed. Other times we might need something a little more specific. For example, your management pack might only work with a certain version of the application. In that case, we might gather the registry value that stores the version of the application and then make sure that value matches or exceeds a particular known value. The last thing we need to do is determine how to populate the different properties of the instance that we collect. What we'll do here is match up values that we collected from the registry with properties of the new instance. So we'll go into all that in a bit more detail when we actually create a couple of discoveries in a few minutes. Before that though, let's have a look at some of the underlying technicals. Now one of the downsides of working in Visual Studio is that we're exposed to the underlying elements more than if we're working something like the authoring console, where the UI hides a lot of the complexity from us. We get a lot of benefit for that, as we can do things like copy and paste and have really fine-tuned control over the XML. So it's actually easier and a lot more effective once we get over that initial hurdle. But one of the concepts we're going to have to understand a bit at this point is modules. We'll get into great detail on modules later on when we talk about building custom workflows. For now, though, just understand that workflows are made up of modules that perform specific actions. In this case, we need modules that will do a registry discovery, basically read the registry and return discovery data. So we need to know which modules perform the actions that we need and how to edit the XML to provide them with the detailed configuration that we want. At this point, I'll just tell you the modules we're interested in. Later on, you can refer to the authoring guide for guidance on different modules that you can leverage to perform different functions. Now technically, as you can see here, there are two different types of registry discovery, but filtered is really the only one you're going to use the great majority of the time. This says we need to check the registry for some condition. Only if that condition is met do we create an instance. Unfiltered says we're going to expect to discover an instance every time the discovery is run. So this is used when we're targeting a class specific to the application that we've already discovered, possibly to discover an additional component or gather some additional properties. Now you'll see here that there are also a couple of settings that we're going to need. That's the path type and the attribute type. There are various other values that we'll need to provide when we do our configuration, but they're going to be a little more obvious. In this case, we need to know, for instance, a path type is a 0 or 1, the attribute type is one of those values. Those are documented in the authoring guide, but I just put them up here because I didn't want you to think that I was pulling those out of thin air when we actually get into the sample. So now here's what we're about to do. We have three different classes that we've already created that we're going to discover using registry discoveries. We know that we have a central processor if we see a value at mpauthor stores qpath. That's where we keep the path to where the queues are stored. And that will only be present on a server if the central processor service is installed. So if we see that value, we create an instance. We don't care what value's in it. We just want to see that the value exists. Now for store server and client, we expect to see a value called store code. We'll know whether we should create an instance of server or client depending on the target of the discovery. We'll obviously only discover store server on server agents and store client on client agents. The logic though will be identical for each. Now in a previous lesson, I mentioned the concept of a seed class. The idea here is to create an instance of a class that simply says the application is installed. We don't monitor it, we just use it as a target for other classes. If you have nothing but registry discoveries, a seed class typically may not be too interesting. But in our next lesson, we're going to have a WMI discovery. We don't want to go putting that WMI load across a wide range of agents where it isn't needed. So we're going to create a seed class now. We'll discover it using a registry discovery. As you can see, basically anywhere we see that that store's key exists. We're only going to create that, though, on our server agents. We won't bother on clients because we know we just have that one client class, so it doesn't provide as much value there. But once we have that seed class created, we'll then use that as the target for our other registry, WMI, and script discoveries that we're going to create. So if that doesn't sound real obvious now, again, as we jump into our example next, then I think it will definitely start to make a lot more sense. Okay, so here we have the solution that we created in the previous exercise, where we created all of the classes for our sample application. So what we need to start with here is to create that seed class. And as I mentioned before, we could create our own fragment for it, or I could just go with an existing one. I'm going to go ahead and put it in this computer roles fragment here. Just kind of makes sense to go there. And we'll go ahead, and we've already gone through how to create a class, so I'm not going to talk through this in great detail, but really just hit the important points. So I'm going to call this mpauthorstores.seed. Now its base class, remember we used computer role before, the base class that I'm going to use here is application component. Now if you go into our documentation, we describe application component. It's actually an unhosted class that we're inheriting from. So we're going to need to create a hosting relationship. Of course, that computer role underneath it is based on Microsoft Windows computer role, which is hosted by Windows computer. Now this class here, we are going to want also hosted by Windows computer, but in this case, we don't want the health to roll up. And remember, computer role, the health rolls up. Now, technically, we're not going to be monitoring this class, but it really is just a best practice. This is not a class that we're going to be measuring the health of, so we really want any health measurements to be unique of the hosting computer. So that's abstract false, because we are actually going to discover instances of it. It is going to be hosted, and it is not a singleton. So again, those are all things that we talked about earlier. So since I have, if I tried to compile this, I would get an error basically saying you said this class is hosted, but I don't see a hosting relationship for it. So let's go ahead, and we already in the previous exercise created a relationship. So again, this is not something I'm going to have to talk to in great detail. Since we've already seen this done, I'm going to call it mpauthorstores computer hosts seed. We'll make its accessibility public. Abstract is going to be false, and its base is going to be system.hosting, okay, because this is a hosting relationship.
And then as we mentioned before, we need a source. And its source is going to be Microsoft Windows Computer. Okay, Windows Computer. And its target will be the class that we just created, the stores class, or the seed class right there. Okay, so again, this is all stuff that we did earlier, so I'm not going to sit and go through all that in great detail. Let's just make sure we get our display strings in here. And this is going to be stores seed. And then we say computer hosts seed. Okay. So I'll do a save and a quick compile here just to make sure that everything is correct, that we didn't make any typos or other errors. And again, this is all pretty much review stuff, really just setting up for the discoveries that we're about to do. So sure enough, that build succeeded. So what we want to do now is create a discovery for this seed class that we just created. So what I'm going to do is, we created a folder for classes. Let's go ahead and create ourselves a new folder for discoveries, just to kind of set things up logically here for ourselves. What I'm going to do is say add new item, and I'm going to pick discovery here. And you can see what we're creating here is a template. Okay, and what we're actually creating is a template within a template group. And what I'm going to do is call this discoveries, and let's create the thing, and then I'll kind of talk through it. Okay, we're getting some errors there, and basically what these errors are saying is that we haven't properly configured this discovery yet, and that's obviously what we're going to do next, so we're not too concerned about that. I'm just going to close that. So you notice here, if I were to actually right click in this group, I can say add template. And you see there's a whole variety of tasks and monitors and rules and discovery. And we'll actually make use of these in later exercises. We'll create monitors and rules. But what this shows is we can have a template group that contains any different combination of templates that you want to put in there. And in this case, typically we keep like things together. So what we're going to do here is just use this particular template group for our different discoveries. Now basically what a template does is, remember when we created classes, we worked directly with the XML. What a template does is basically gives us some UI to save us from some of that XML, and what it's going to do is generate all of the XML for the management pack once we save this particular template that we're working on. We are absolutely going to have to deal with some of the XML, basically when we do the data source configuration, which we'll show in a moment. But again, this is something that we're going to be doing quite a bit in later exercises. So this is our discovery. What I'll do is go through the different properties here, and we'll quickly talk to each of them. Okay, so the category, this is always going to be discovery for a discovery. Category gets more interesting when we get into monitors and rules, and we'll talk a little bit more about it then. Could create a comment if I wanted to. Confirm delivery, you can see right at the bottom there, unless you really understand what you're doing, don't change this. I can't give any circumstance where I have changed it, so I'm just going to say leave that as is. I'm going to skip the data stores properties for a moment. We're going to come back. That's really the most complex part of this discovery here. And so let's do that one last. And one point to make that I should have noted earlier, creating this first discovery is going to take, I'm going to talk through and pretty decent amount of detail. It's going to take us a few minutes to create this one. But then what we'll do is we'll just basically copy paste this and make some modifications. So while it seems like this first one is going to be a bit complex and take us some time, we're going to be able to move through the other ones pretty quickly. As I mentioned before, one of the kind of downsides from working in a tool like Visual Studio as opposed to something like the Authoring Console is, even where we do have some UI, we are exposed to a significant amount of the complexity that the Authoring Console hid from us. But we're going to get really, when you start to get familiar with that, the ability to copy paste and really just edit things directly in the XML, it's actually in the long run a much more efficient way to work, as hopefully we'll show in this exercise. Okay, so I can provide a description. I'll leave that one. Obviously I'd want to provide a proper description. Now, discovery classes here, I do want to note the class that we're discovering. And in this case, it's that seed class. Now, an important point here, this is not a required property. We're actually going to instruct the discovery somewhere else to discover this particular class. So you're going to see us specify the class again. What this is for is actually in the operations console. When you select discoveries and basically say in the authoring pane in the ops console, when you say, for instance, show me all the discoveries that discover this particular class. In other words, show me the discoveries that discover the seed class. That setting there is what drives that part of the UI. So while that's not technically required, this would compile, it would install, that part of the UI, basically I'd ask for discoveries that discover that particular class, nothing would show up. So we certainly do want to specify it, but I should note that it's not technically required. Relationships, I could also, and a lot of times discoveries were only discovering relationships. I could give that hosting one that we did before, but it's pretty implied, so I'm not going to bother with that. Display name, I'm going to say discover MP author stores seed. That's just what's displayed to the end user. It is enabled. Okay, we do want it to run. ID, I'm going to call it discovery dot seed. Now notice here on the ID for everything else, I prefixed everything with MP author dot stores. Now if you remember when we created this solution back in an earlier exercise, we had we specified the namespace. And the namespace for my project here is mpauthor.stores. So what is going to happen is when the XML gets generated, this ID is going to be prefixed with that. And so it's just a way to stop us from having to constantly type the same thing over and over. So we'll show that when we get done here. Priority is normal. Again, if you look right at the bottom, don't bother with this. Remotable, what this refers to, and we're not going to change this, I will actually note this. The fact that this is remotable actually will matter in a moment. I'll talk about that in the configuration. But what this means is that this would work with an agentless monitoring. Remember, Operations Manager can manage computers without actually installing an agent on them. But as you might imagine, that can have some implication where some particular workflows, discoveries, or monitors might require running on the local computer. And so in this case, we're saying this is remotable. In other words, it can run in an agentless configuration. And so again, I'll note that it actually is a significant point when we do our configuration. So my target here, this is saying where do I want to try to find this particular class? And remember, our logic says if that registry key mpauthor.stores exists, then we're going to discover an instance. Now I'm going to have to search really across all computers here. So I can't really do a real finely targeted discovery here. We're going to need a more broad one. Now I'm not just going to simply say Windows computer though. What I'm going to say is Windows server computer. Okay, I'm going to select this one right here. And what this is basically only on agents, Windows servers with the agent installed are we going to look for this. I'm not going to look on clients. Remember, we do have a store client. And this is just a way to distinguish between our store client and our store servers that we're going to be discovering. So basically what I'm saying here is clients can only handle that store client. There's nothing else I'm going to be discovering. I don't really have a need for that seed class. But the server agents, I am discovering multiple things, and so it makes sense for me to have this seed. Again, you could use different logic depending on how you chose to do this. That's the logic that I'm going to use, is only look on server agents. So the next thing we need to define is the data source, and this is actually what we'll spend the most time on in a discovery. And we're going to talk all about modules and data sources and probe actions and write actions and all the different types of modules later on in another lesson. And we'll really break down and talk about custom monitoring scenarios and build our own modules. At this point, really all you need to understand is the data source defines what type of discovery that we're going to perform. And basically in the library management packs hold a whole variety of these different modules that perform certain actions. Again, we'll go into a lot more detail on this later on. For right now, what you really need to understand are just what is the module that I need to pick to do a filtered registry discovery. Okay, and in this case, we want to pick here, filtered registry, discovery provider. As I mentioned before, we could do an unfiltered. There are reasons that we might select these other ones. Like I said, I'm just going to go through and really define, here's the module we want in this particular circumstance. Later on, we talk more about modules. We'll really go and define how you can see the different modules and why you might want to select something other than just the basic ones. Okay. Now what the run as, I'm not going to change this. What this has to do, if we don't specify a run as here, then this discovery is going to run under the default action account for the particular agent. If for some reason I said this discovery needed particular special permissions, then I could define a run as profile that, of course, the user would assign an account to, and then I define that here. I basically say this particular module has to run under these different credentials. Very often we'll do that with a script when that different type of security is required. In this case, local registry, we're just fine with the action account. We need an ID for the data source, just has to be unique within the discovery. DS is pretty arbitrary what we're going to use there. DS is just a common. So the next thing we need to do, and this is really where we're going to spend most of the time in any discovery, is in the configuration. Now the reason that we really can't provide all the nice properties and UI for this is basically every different type of module has its own requirements. And so this goes for discoveries and when we do monitors and rules and all the different types of workflow that we might use. There's really no generic UI that we can provide to all that. So basically what we're going to need to do here is work directly with the XML. Now what we are provided though is some IntelliSense. So basically Visual Studio here knows from the module that we just selected what are the properties that it's going to require. What is the information we need to provide in order to configure this module to do the discovery that we want. Okay, and again, later on I'm going to show how we can actually delve into the libraries and actually look at this information. But for now we understand we have to start with a computer name. Now what this specifies is what is the computer where we're going to look for the registry? What computer holds the registry we're going to be looking in? Now you might think, well, it's just local computer, right? The local one on the agent. Now remember I had that remotable setting. And so what we need this to do is actually resolve to the local computer name. Most of the time, it's going to be the same name as the computer we're running on. In an agentless mode, though, that would be the target computer, okay, which actually isn't the one that actually holds the agent. So what we use here is a target variable. Remember we talked about those earlier on, and what I'm going to just do is type this out and then kind of talk to it. So it might look a little bit complex and you might think, wow, this is not something I'm going to remember easily. The good news is you're very rarely going to type this out in the way that I am. Most of the time we really just copy paste. In fact, most of the time when, quite honestly, you're creating most of the time when you're creating the discovery itself, you're just going to copy another registry discovery. Registry discovery always starts with computer name and almost always is that target property there. So it's not something you're going to have syntax you're going to have to remember a lot and type a lot. But what that says is for the target, the object that we're targeting here, typically the local agent, I need you to look at this principal name property that is owned by Microsoft Windows Computer, by that class. Now remember, the target that I used was Microsoft Windows Server Computer. But Server Computer is based on Microsoft Windows Computer, and so that is the class where the property is actually defined. So that's what we select. So again, this, while it looks a little cryptic, vast majority of the time you're just going to copy and paste that one in for a registry discovery. You're going to see computer name pretty much every different type of discovery you run that's almost always going to have that same variable there. The next thing we need to do is define our attribute definitions. Remember what I said before, what this says is what are the registry keys and values that I'm interested in. Don't know yet what I want to do with them. I'll define that a little lower down. In the case of the seed class, we're not collecting any properties. We really just need to see that, does that one key exist? Okay, so it's just that one attribute definition I'm going to need. The attribute name, this is just for my purposes, I'm going to call it key exists. Completely arbitrary, you're going to see lower down where I'm going to use that name. This will make a little bit more sense when we create our next discovery. We'll have multiple attributes. It might be a little bit more interesting. That's the name. Next, I need to define the path. Where is the path to the registry variable, or to the registry key that we're interested in? Now, we always assume hkeylocalmachine. So we really can start at the software and mpauthor/stores. Okay, and that's the key that I'm interested in. If you, it helps to think in these terms, you might just think of an hkeylocalmachine in front of that, but we always assume hkeylocalmachine. So if you remember when I defined the path type, that tells us, is this a key or a value? 0 means key, 1 means value. In this case, we're interested in a key. Okay, and then the attribute type. What the attribute type says is, what is basically the type here? Is it a string value? Is it an integer value? In this case, 0 means, and I showed this on the slide, 0 is a Boolean. In other words, does this key exist or not? Okay, I'm not interested in any information about it. If I'm defining a value, it's not that I want to collect the value itself. I just want to see, does it exist? True if it does, false if it doesn't. Okay, so that's all I need in this case for my attribute definitions. Next thing is frequency. Now typically, and this is in seconds, I'm going to use 600 here, which is basically run this every 10 minutes, strictly my lab environment, strictly for testing. This very often I'll use a value like that just while I'm doing development. And then of course, when you actually go put this thing out for production, that's when we're going to raise up to a value, usually in the thousands to denote, and I don't remember off the top of my head, whatever 60 seconds is for 4 hours and or even 24 hours. And you'll see those values used a lot in manage impacts. So again, I'll just go 10 minutes here for mine. The class ID, remember earlier I said we were going to have to actually define which class we were discovering. I specified it earlier, but that was just to drive the UI. This is where I actually require this information. Okay, this actually says this is the class that we are going to be discovering here. Now, the value that I just typed in, really mpauthor/stores/seed, says this is what we're discovering, but the syntax you see there is an mpElement variable. Technically, what I need to define here is not the ID of the class, but is the GUID. And so when a manage impact gets installed, all of its classes are assigned a GUID. That's what needs to be specified here. The mpElement variable resolves to that GUID. Okay, and so again, if it looks a little cryptic, it's something we're going to see over and over, really when we do discoveries. We really don't see mpElement variables much in other types of workflows. So the next I'm going to define are instance settings. Now what this says is we have some properties for this class we're discovering. How are we going to populate their values? Now remember the seed class, we don't have any properties for it. Okay, I'd really just need the thing, an instance created so I can use it as a target. But there are two properties that we are going to define. First, let's go ahead, settings. I need to define a setting. Okay. The name of this, basically this says the property name that we're going to provide, is actually, remember I mentioned before, whenever we discover an instance of a class, we are obligated, we must provide a value for any of its key properties in addition to the key property of any of its parents. In this case, the seed class is hosted by Windows Server Computer, right? And its key property is the computer name. So we have to provide the computer name here for a proper discovery. So what I'm going to do is let's go ahead and copy this mpElement variable, because this basically says what is the property that I'm discovering. So I'll change this. Actually, let's go ahead and copy paste this one. Put that in there. And we're discovering its principal name. Okay, so very similar to this value here, and it's because we're looking at the same property. But up in the top here, we're actually taking the value off of our target. Down here, what I'm doing is for the new instance that I'm discovering of the seed class, this is going to be the property of its hosting parent, the key property of its hosting parent that I need to provide. The value for that is going to be this target variable. In other words, just take the computer name that has that registry that we're targeting. Okay, so it's exactly the same value that I'm able to use there. So again, I mentioned these look a little cryptic, but we're not going to have to type a lot because we can just copy and paste. Okay, the next setting we need, we don't necessarily need, this one's optional, but what this is going to be, and I'm going to copy our MP element again, but this is a display name, and basically every single class that we create has a display name. The reason for that, as I mentioned earlier, they all eventually inherit from system entity, and the system entity class has a display name on it. So it's always just the best practice to provide one, even though we're not necessarily using it too much, like in this case. But it's system entity display name. So just about every discovery you create is going to have this setting in it, just to provide the system entity display name. What I'm going to do, because we really don't have a particularly interesting display name here, I'm just going to go ahead and use that computer name again. Okay, this will get a lot more interesting when we discover things, when we discover our queue class later on, where we have different queues that are going to have different key properties and that sort of thing. Okay, but this is kind of a standard settings that you're going to see on most of the classes that you discover. Next one, we're going to use these same ones, but then we'll have to add in values for the other properties. Okay, so the last thing we need to define is an expression. Now what the expression says is, when should we create this instance? In other words, I'm going to go out to all server computer agents, I'm going to collect this registry key, see if it exists or not, what is the logic that must resolve to true to say that yes, I should go ahead and create this class. Okay, and basically, so if our expression here resolves to true, we create the class. If it resolves to false, we don't. Now I'm going to, right up front, I'm going to say that expressions can get a little complex. As you can see, look at all those options I can get. I'm just going to go a simple expression. Again, this is something that you're going to be able to, we're going to see different examples of for expressions when we go our monitors and our rules. So I'm not going to sit here and go too much into the XML syntax here. All we need is a very simple, does the key exist or not? So this is a simple expression. We'll create it quick here, and we'll just get some experiences. We move through the different examples we do. It's a value expression. Okay, then we have to say, is this going to be a value or an XPath query? If I select value that says whatever I type in, just use that. Don't try to calculate anything. What XPath query means is, What's going to happen, and again, this is something I'll talk in a lot more detail later on when we talk about modules, and we'll even talk about some in just the next discovery that we create. It'll actually be a little bit more clear. But basically what's going to happen is we're going to go collect data from the registry and return that data in XML form. And what the expression does is says, take that data and go select a particular value out of it and compare it to something. So in that case, it actually is an XPath that I'm providing. In this case, let's just go ahead and type it in, and I'm going to describe it in a little more detail, as I say, in the next one, in the next discovery that we create. And again, we're going to see it in a lot more detail later on. But what this says, values is going to be common anytime you're doing a registry discovery. Basically, you're saying, show me the values that I defined. Key exists here, directly corresponds to my attribute name there. So if I use a different attribute name here, I have a different XPath query. And again, we'll see that in the next discovery. So we're basically saying whatever that value is, if does the key exist or not, that's going to return a true or false value depending on whether or not it exists. Next, I'm going to select my operator. This should be fairly straightforward. In this case, does it equal? When we start seeing monitors and rules and start dealing with numeric values, we'll definitely see those other operators. And in this case, the value expression, actual value, is true. So again, just to talk through this fairly quickly, what this says is that attribute called key exists, resolve that to a true or false depending on whether the key exists or not. If it does equal true, then create an instance. If it does not, then don't. All right? So we're going to say okay there. A lot we just did, so let's go ahead and save and build this. We need this one actually to build properly because we're going, mainly because we're going to copy and paste it and then use it for other discoveries. So we can see that succeeded. So we're good to move on. The next discovery that we create, what we're going to do is create the central processor. This one's going to go quite a bit faster because, one, I don't have to talk through everything again, but also I'm just going to copy and paste the first one here and then modify whatever I need to modify. Now, what I would typically do at this point is test this discovery using the MP Simulator. That's a tool that we have integrated into Visual Studio that allows us to actually test this discovery, test any workflow monitors rules on the local computer, and actually view its output in the whole bit. What I'm going to do, though, in the sake of time, is we'll get through the different discovery lessons, and then I'm going to do a separate lesson on testing and troubleshooting discoveries. And so what we'll do then is actually break out the MP Simulator, we'll walk through its use, and we'll really look at under the covers the data that's being delivered as part of the discovery in the whole bit. So we'll hold off on that for the moment. What I do want to show, though, at this point is the essentially the XML for the management pack that we just created. So if I go down here to the discoveries template group that we just worked with, you see we now have this MPX file. I click on that. You can see here's the discovery that we just created. Remember, I just called my ID discovery.seed, and it went ahead and appended the namespace to it, as I mentioned before. You can see there's our target that we set. Here is the XML we had to work directly with, and we can see that's here underneath this data source that we specified. So again, we could have created this discovery by just creating an MP fragment and typing all this in our cells. What the template allows us to do is to work directly with some properties and a little bit of UI, and then generates the XML for us. Now, we can't modify this. If I actually could technically modify this file, but then if I go back and modify any of these properties, it's going to overwrite any changes that I make. So when we work with a template like this, we can see the XML just for our reference, but it's not something we work directly with. If we wanted to modify the discovery, we do it within the template here. So what I want to do now is go ahead and create the discovery for that central processor class. Now remember, that's the one we're going to target the seed class with it, saying I know that the store's application's installed because I see that registry key there. And then we're going to see if a registry value exists for QPath. If we see that value, then we're going to go ahead and create an instance of central processor. So let's have a look at the class just real quickly. We can see there's a central processor class that we created in the previous lesson. And we have these three properties that we need to collect for it: the QPath, database server, and database name. So let's go ahead back to our template group. What I'm going to do here is a copy, and then I'll do a control V. I didn't copy that properly. Let's try that again. Okay, there we go. Just a simple copy paste. I must have just clicked something incorrectly the first time. And we can see here now I have two identical discoveries. So what I want to do here is go ahead and modify this one to be our central processor discovery. So again, all that work that I had to go through in the last one, I actually get to save some of that work and just go through and modify what needs to be unique. So let's start with the target. And remember, instead of the server computer, I'm actually going to target the seed class. Okay, and so this discovery only needs to run on those agents where we know the store's application is installed. We don't know that it's that it has a central processor service, but we do know at least that some components of the store's application are there. So this one ID, I'm going to change to discovery.centralprocessor. Display name, discover MP author, stores, central processor. Okay. That's really all I need to change there. We're going to use the same data source because this is a filtered registry discovery. And as you might imagine, here's where we're going to make most of our changes. But as I mentioned before, a lot of these kind of long cryptic strings we had to type in, we're just going to keep. Okay. So still computer, we're still going to use that target variable. The registry attribute definition, this one we are going to have to add some things. I remember there's a different, instead of looking for the existence of a key, we're going to look for the existence of a value. And then we have those three properties that we're going to need to collect registry values for. So what I'm going to do here, first off, I'm going to change this attribute name. We'll turn this into our logic for the QPath. So I'm going to say QPath exists. And then I'm going to look for this QPath value. Now remember, in this case, in the last one, when I said that key exists, we were looking for the store's registry key. This time we're looking for a QPath value. So the path type is a 1, which means value instead of type. Our attribute type is the same though, because we're saying here, we're not saying we're collecting this value. We're just saying true or false, does it exist? Okay. Now what I'm going to do is copy that, because in addition to saying does this value exist, I actually want to collect the value. So I'm going to call this QPath, same path that I'm interested in. Path type is the same because it's a value. In this case, attribute type is going to be 1, which is a string. So again, just to reiterate what I just did here, same path that I'm interested in. What the QPath exists attribute says is, does this value exist? What the QPath attribute says is, collect the value for it so then I can use it later on in the discovery. So now I'm going to copy this one. I'm going to paste this twice. All right, the first one I'm going to call database name, and that's under stores database name, and database server. And in this case, these other values are the same. Now the path type and the attribute type are the same because these are values and not keys, and we're collecting string values for them. So I'll keep the frequency the same. Again, that's something that I would absolutely increase before going into production. The class ID is going to change because in this case, we're not discovering the seed. We're discovering it's called computer role.centralprocessor. Okay, that's the class of the instance that we're going to create. Now, if we look the next two, now remember instance settings, this is where we're going to actually populate the properties of the new class. We can keep these two because still this is a class that's hosted by Windows Computer, so we have to provide the computer name. We'll go ahead and just use the computer name for its display name. But remember, I have those other three properties that we need to assign for this, for central processor. Seed didn't have any properties that we wanted to assign, but this one does. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new one here. And the name of this, this is also going to be an MPL variable. So actually, let me just type in that whole, copy that whole thing there. I probably should have done that to begin with. Okay, so it's an MPL variable, which defines here's the property we're interested in. But we're going, this case, we can go ahead. I'm just going to do, again, copy paste so I don't have to type in that long string. And I'm going to call this QPath. Basically what I'm doing here is providing a value for each of those three properties that we just looked at. These are properties that we defined on this class. Okay, and so the MP element syntax there should make sense. It's something that we've seen a few times. Now what I'm going to do is assign a value to it. And what I'm using here is a data variable. Data values, I'm going to type it in and then I'll explain it. QPath. Now, what's interesting is we're going to see later on, I mentioned when we open up MP Simulator, and we walk through some testing of this, we're going to get a little bit more exposure. We'll see the discovery data that's being delivered. We'll see basically each step along this discovery. We'll see the registry information get collected and then delivered to the next module and then turned into discovery data. What we'll see at that time is that the data comes out, all data that's passed through a workflow in a management pack is done in XML. And so we can refer to that data with a data variable. And what we're saying here is the data that comes out of that registry collection, we have a value in there called QPath. And what I'm interested in here is for the central processor property called QPath, I want to provide the value for a QPath that I collected from the registry. Again, that value there is what corresponds directly to this attribute name here. All right, so if you go into our documentation, the authoring guide, this is the syntax for a registry data variable. We'll see later when we use property bags, for example, with scripting, this syntax is different, but they're all data variables. Okay, so the next one I'm going to provide go ahead and copy this twice. And remember, I have a database name. And that's the attribute that I called database name. Apologies there. Hit a control key or something. So let's go ahead and database name. And then database server. Okay, and provide that in there. All right. Now the last thing I have here is this expression. Now remember last time we had this values key exists, and I just said if that registry key exists, then we want to go ahead and create an instance. In this case, I called that attribute name QPath. So we're saying if QPath exists, if that attribute equals true, we're going to create an instance here of central processor. Now it's interesting, and I mentioned before, I'm going to explain this a little bit further right here. This XPath query here is a data variable. It really is exactly the same as this $data/values, exactly the same thing that we're doing there in the instance settings. The difference is in the expression module, and we're going to see this expression module various times in all of our monitors and rules and custom modules and the whole bit. Basically, the expression module is designed to only work with data. So basically, always working with a data variable. So just for this module, we don't have to provide that dollar data. Maybe makes things a little bit more confusing, but it really the only way you need to think about it is this is a data variable just without the dollar data on the front. So those are the same things, and hopefully that explains that why that looks the way it does. So let's go ahead and save this one. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is go ahead and build this. Now I'm going to say right up front, I'm expecting to get an error. And the reason I'm expecting to get an error is there's one modification that we didn't make in there that we need to. I kind of talked right past it, but I thought it would be more effective to actually show the error, and I got exactly the error that I was planning on. But what this says here is that it wasn't able to properly analyze that target variable. And you see something there about evaluating the host reference. So what it's saying, remember when we did the target variable, we said look at the target object and select this property from it. But what this is telling us here is the target is this seed class. Remember, our first discovery targeted Windows computer, Windows server computer, which is based on Windows computer, so we could go collect that, that computer name property from it. In this case, though, we're targeting the seed class. It doesn't have that principal name property. That belongs to Windows computer, which hosts the seed class. So what we need to do here is let's go back and modify. What we need to do here is add in target/host. Now this is something that is actually very common. You're going to see this in a whole variety of discoveries. And basically what we're saying is, as I just mentioned, I need this property not from the target class, but from the host of the target class. We can even get to situations where we'll do things like this, depending on how deep it is. You know, if you think back to the database example I used, the SQL database is hosted by Database Engine, which is hosted by Windows Computer. So if I was targeting something in a database and needed the computer name, in that case, I would use a $target host host. Okay, so again, maybe something that sounds a little confusing, but it really is not going to be too difficult. And you can see, right, that error message was perfect. It said, I resolved this to the seed class. You might need to get a host in your target variable. So it knew the error and even gave us a suggestion on how to fix it. Now remember, I used that target variable in a couple of places. So I'm also going to need it here and here. All right. So with that in place, we should be able to do a successful build, assuming I didn't have any other errors. Okay, and sure enough, we're good. All right, so the next thing we're going to create is the store server. All right, and that's actually going to be very similar to our central processor. So let's go ahead and do a copy paste on that one. And I missed it again. There we go. Okay, so the target is going to be the same. It's the store's seed. The class I think I forgot to change that. Let's go back to our first one. And sure enough, what I just, my error, my apologies, and probably caught this one, but when I created that central processor, what I didn't do was specify in there what class we were discovering. So remember, I mentioned this before. You might think, wow, shouldn't that have given an error? No, remember, this is just our instruction to the operations console that says when you go to the authoring pane and say, show me discoveries for central processor, I want this discovery to show up. Okay. Technically, that was broken because it would have shown a, how we had it, it would have shown the wrong discovery. But that's why it didn't break when we did the build. So my apologies. That was a legitimate error. It's not one I meant to do on purpose. So let's go ahead and change it for this one. We're going to discover store server. There we go. Save that. It's ID. We're going to say discovery. We're going to call it store server. We'll change the display name. Store server. And go back to our XML. So remember, for the store server, our logic says if it has a value called store code. And if so, remember, it has one property on that class, which is the store code property. So very similar to our dealing with our QPath before. Instead of QPath exists, I'm going to call it store code exists. And there's the value we're looking for. Same thing for this one. Okay, remember, this attribute says, does the value exist? This attribute here says, collect that value. And the next two, I'm just going to remove. Remember, those were the other two properties that central processor had, that store server just has the one property we want to collect. So we'll change that to store server because that is the class that we're discovering. Looking at those attribute settings, I can remove the two that we don't need. I can go here and say store code. And that's the name of the property here, store code. And remember, that property we defined on something called store computer. Now it's a little bit different than our central processor. Remember, central processor here, we said central processor was the class that held the property. In this case, remember, store server is based on store computer, and store computer is where we defined that store code property, which of course was inherited by store server and store client. And so I need to provide here the name of the class where the property is defined. Okay, and then our value here is store code exists. So again, does that value exist? All right, so let's go ahead and save that one. Do a quick build just to make sure we're not copying any errors, because that's the one we're going to copy for our store client. Sure enough, we're good. So let's go ahead and copy store server, and we'll create our store client. Having problems hitting copy-paste here. Okay, so our ID here is going to be store client, and display name, discover store client. And the class being discovered. I could type it in, but I always like to make sure I don't have any errors, and just select it. Now the target in this case, remember, everything else is targeting the seed class, but I only discovered the seed class on server agents. So in this case, we're going to have to go against Windows client computers. Basically, I said, look, the only clients in my environment where I've got agents are really part of this point of sale system that I'm creating this management pack for, so I'm really not concerned about doing that discovery across that wide range. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and say client computer, okay? If I said Windows computer here, what would happen is we'd also go against server computers, which obviously we don't want. So then we'll go and look at our configuration. Store code exists and store code, that's identical for the server and the client, so we're fine there. I need to change this computer role, store client. Everything else is really the same. Because remember, store client and store server are both based on stored computer, where the stored code property is defined. So all of this can stay the same. There is, if you're really on the ball here though, you did notice one area that we do have to change on this one. And for this, we need to remove that host. Remember, store server targets the seed class, which is hosted by Windows computer. So the dollar target host says the hosting parent of the target object. In this case, we're discovering Windows, or we're targeting Windows client computer, which is based on Windows computer. So we're actually getting that property from the target object. So I'll OK there, and if we do a build, assuming we're good here, then we actually have all of our registry discoveries complete. Sure enough, there we go. So again, what we'll do in a later lesson is we'll open up one of these in the MP simulator and go walk through all that, look at some of the data that gets returned from the registry. We'll see what discovery data looks like. What we'll do for now, though, is at least get this thing loaded up into our management group and actually perform some discoveries. Before, we saw our classes in there, but no instances discovered. Now we're going to go ahead and get this installed and actually do some proper discovery and some real testing. Now, before we install into the management group, there's one thing I want to do, and that's create a state view for each of these classes. Now, when we discover the classes, we certainly can go to the discovered inventory view in the operations console and have a look at the different instances we're discovering that way. But when we really think about it, typically when we create a class, we create a discovery, we're going to have a view that the user can use to select and have a look at all the instances that are discovered and have a look at their health. We're not going to have any health yet. We'll get that when we start doing monitoring. But what I'm going to do is create a state view for each one of these. So what I'm going to start by doing here is let's create ourselves a new folder in our project. I'm going to call presentation. What we'll do is we'll use this for views and reports and anything related basically to presenting data that we're collecting and instances that we're discovering. Now the first thing I'm going to put in here, I'm going to say add new item. Now if you think I've got those state views I'm going to create, but if you remember how management packs typically work, is in the operations console, the monitoring pane, I'm going to have a folder, at least a top level folder for the application or for the management pack, and then possibly some other folders underneath just to separate out our different views. So I'm going to do is start by just creating a simple folder. Let's call this folders in case we're going to create one or more. And this is really just going to be a folder for ourselves to store our views in. So unlike what we saw before using templates with the discoveries, this is an MP fragment, much like a work with classes, where we're not really providing UI beyond the XML for folders. And this one's really quite straightforward. So just like I did with class, I'm going to go ahead and delete the comments there. The folder ID, I'm just going to call MP Author Stores folder. This is just our top level. Okay. I'm going to make its accessibility public, so that way I can have different MP files in my overall solution store into this. And I'm going to keep its parent folder the same. What this is already in place for us, this is the root folder basically of the entire view tree there in monitoring. And just about every management pack you create, you're going to start with at least one folder at the top level. Of course, I could create various ones, and as we start to build out our management pack, we'll start to see some value in that, in creating some folders just to structure all our views. For now, we're going to be fine with this, though. So I'm going to delete this folder items section. What this part of the XML is basically taking different elements that we've created, views, reports, etc., and then putting them into that folder. We're going to create the views. We have a template for views, and so we're going to go ahead and create them that way. The template will actually create the folder item for us. Okay, so the only other thing I need to do is go down here and set a display string. And what I'm going to call this is MP Author Stores. Okay, so that way we're going to have a folder up at the top level to put our views into. As I always do, I do a quick build just to make sure that I've created that one correctly. You can see our build process getting a little bit longer probably each time we do it, just because we've got more elements we're working with. So that succeeded. Now what I'm going to do is go ahead and do an add new item. And I'm going to say view. You can see this looks a little similar to when we were doing discoveries, and then we're creating a template group. I'll call this views. All right, so again, error that we saw before, which basically just says this isn't configured correctly yet. We have a view in place, and much like we did with our discoveries, we're going to go ahead and modify this view. Now, this is going to go much, much faster than the discoveries. These are actually a lot more straightforward, just not nearly as much configuration that goes into a view. Okay, so let's go through these. Accessibility, this really isn't going to throw us. I'm going to go ahead and keep this one internal. For a view, that won't make much difference. Category, operations, again, categories we'll really worry more about when we do monitors and rules. Could make a comment for it, could add a description for it. Certainly production, I probably want to do those things. My display name, now this is what's going to show up as the title in the monitoring pane for this view. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to do this one as the seed. Now remember, our top level folders are already going to say MP Author Stores, so there's really no need to redo MP Author Stores on our display name. We could, but we're already going to be segmented off from other management packs. Now, actually in production, I wouldn't create a view for the seed class. This is something we're kind of keeping invisible. It's not something that we're going to monitor, that we expect our users to really need to see. But just for our purposes, because we're doing testing, we want to see that getting created. So just for the sake of our lab testing here, I'm going to go ahead and create that view. So the view ID, I'm going to call view.state.seed. Now the reason that I did this is what we're going to do is create a state view. Later on we do monitoring, we'll create performance views, we'll create alert views, we create some different types of views. So this just a naming scheme that I like that says I'm creating a view and this is a type of view it is, which is a state. Now the target of a view really says for a state view, says here's the class that I'm interested in displaying. So if I target the seed class, this just says show me all instances of the seed class. Now I could go and change configuration. I could change columns and move columns around and set which columns I want, the whole bit. If we leave configuration blank though for a state view, what we're going to get is a listing of each instance. It's going to include the health of it. It's going to tell us if it's in maintenance mode, and it'll include each of the properties defined for that class. In that case, this is going to be fine for us for this set of views that we're going to create. Maybe later on we really want to start getting sophisticated, we'll do some configuration. For now, the default's going to be absolutely fine with us. So which folder are we going to create this in? And that's of course the folder that we just created. Okay, and that's the MP Author Stores folder. The view type in this case, and you can see these are different view types. We'll talk about those as we go through and we'll create some other ones later on. In this case, we're going to create a state view. Okay? And I'm done. I basically have a view for the seed class. So now let's go ahead and create it for the other ones. Let's do a copy paste, and yet again, something a little bit crazy with my copy paste for some reason. So the ID here, I'm going to call this one, we'll do the central processor. Target is going to be the central processor. Okay. Everything else the same, going in the same folder. Default configuration, same type. So let's go ahead and paste in another one. And I'll call this PAuthor Stores. We'll do this one for the store server. Same folder, we'll call it store server. And one more for the store client. Okay. And that's it. We're ready to go. So what I'm going to do is let's do a quick build. Let's make sure this is good, that we have no errors here. Sure enough, we succeeded. So what I'm going to do is now, remember when I hit start here, what this is going to do is install the management pack into my management group. So that's exactly what it's doing now. Now while that's installing, I want to talk to basically what I've got here in my test environment. What I have are four different servers. One of them, and really this, again, this is a lab environment. The entire reason, or the entire way that we configured this sample application was such that we could take really any environment with some Windows servers, basically just through some registry keys and folders, simulate a lot of the different monitoring scenarios. So what I have here are four different servers. I've got registry keys in place. So basically I've got one acting as our central processor. And then I got three servers acting as store servers. Okay, I actually don't have any store clients here. It's virtual environment. I don't have any client operating systems. Really gonna be able to illustrate everything just fine with the others. So we actually won't be discovering store client, but we will be seeing seed, store server, and central processor. So let me switch over here. And I just want to show off what I've got. So this here, you can see the name of this server I'm remoted into right here is BWSC02, which is just my initials with System Center 02. And then I'm connected to the registry for 1, 3, and 4. Now on this local machine here, I've gone and I've created registry key, member software, MP author, stores, and this is the one acting as my central processor. So I created values for QPath, database server, and database name. And remember, our criteria for the seed class was that this stores key exists, and then for our central processor, does this QPath exist? If it is, we're going to collect those values there, and we're going to use them to populate our properties. Now, each of the other ones are pretty much identical. What I've done here, if I look, oh, wrong one. Let me open a local machine. So this is BWSC01. If I go software MP author, these are acting as store servers. So remember, store server said that this store code value exists. And you can see its store code is just S1, okay, for store one. Then if I do local machine software on the next one, the right one, MP author stores, and you can see this is S3. And of course, the other one is S4. So what we're expecting to find, assuming that our discoveries work properly, is an instance of store server for each of those three computers. So here's my management group. Here's our folder that we just created. Ah, we can see actually an error that I made, so that's good. What happened here is I didn't change the display name on the different views that I created. So we can actually see we have things getting discovered, we just can't see what they are. So let's go ahead and go back and we'll fix that up. Okay, so seed class there, here's my store client. There we go, let's change the display name here to store clients. We'll change the server, display name, we'll call this store servers, and the central processor will change to central processor. Okay, might have been an error that you caught when you were watching along the way, so I'm going to save that. I'm just going to go ahead and install. Basically, when we do an install, if you notice, we obviously do a build first. And so this is go ahead and it's redeploying this management pack. Now, in the sake of full disclosure here, when I do that install, we won't the discoveries aren't immediately going to be that fast. Remember, it's going to take at least probably a couple of minutes for the management pack to get installed, delivered out to the agents. The agents actually run the discoveries. They're not going to wait that 10 minutes the first time. When that manager pack gets installed, it's going to run the discovery immediately. Then it's going to run every 10 minutes because that's the interval I gave it. But there would be some delay time between the time you install and the manager packs actually go out and get delivered and processed. I actually had this installed early on so we could have these things immediately discovered just in the sake of the training that we didn't have to wait. So we can see now, though, that I changed that display name. Things happen pretty quickly as far as the operations console is concerned. So we can see here is my seed class, and sure enough, we're discovering here one for each of those four servers that I showed because they have that MP author stores registry key in place. So that's what we use for the seed class. Now if I look at central processor, BWSC02 is the only one that I should have. Remember, I showed that registry key there. And then we can see here that we have those properties that I collected from the registry keys. So let's go ahead and jump back there and really show that. So here's a registry. This is BWSC02 that I'm remoted into, and there are the values in the registry that I put in there, and we can see, sure enough, that those are the values that we're collecting. If I were to change one of those values, next 10 minutes the discovery runs again, and we'd see the change there. All right, just to verify the other one, store client. Remember I said I don't have any client operating systems in this environment, so I guess you'll have to take my word for it that that one works. But store server, sure enough, we see three of them there, and we can see the store code. Okay, that's S1, S4. So, let's see. There's an error there. S3 on BWSC04, that's the one we didn't look at. What I would expect is probably just a mistake when I created the registry key. So let's go ahead and have a look. HKey local machine, software MP author stores. Sure enough, there's an S3 in there. So that was just my mistake when I created that. I'll make that S4. And we're not going to expect to see that change immediately, but the next time the discovery runs, this should add the correct value. So when we come back in a later exercise, then we'll see that's correct. But you can see here, though, we're not monitoring anything yet, but we certainly will get a state on these when we start getting monitors in place. But we can see, at least, though, we now have some views in place, we have discoveries running, and we can actually start working with these classes that we created. So that completes registry discoveries. This is a particularly long lesson because of so many of the really introductory things that I had to offer up here. Next, we'll do WMI discoveries and then script discoveries. A lot of the extra stuff that I've had to talk about in this one, we're not going to have to. We're going to go and we're going to create other discoveries in the template groups. We'll be able to jump right into some new views and look at those other instances. So I think we'll be a little more efficient in those later lessons.